You for the honor. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you because you are a faithful God. Lord, we thank you because your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. It pierces deep down between the bones and the marrow, and your word is a designer of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man. We ask that tonight you will send your word. And I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, that no one will live here the same. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I can hear your amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Our text tonight is Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. Just one verse of scripture. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 7. The voices of the earth are true. When the wisdom of God is in place in your life and common sense is in place, you'll be able to discern the voices. When you know the truth, it's very easy to detect a lie. People only become deceived when they do not know the truth. But once you know the truth, it's very, very easy to detect a lie. Proverbs 4:7. If you are there, can I hear an amen? Amen. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Another translation of the Bible says, getting wisdom is the most important thing that you can do. But along with your wisdom, develop common sense and good judgment. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. But along with your wisdom, develop common sense and good judgment. So tonight, I want to share with you what I've entitled, Common Sense for Single People. Common sense for single people. When wisdom is in place, when common sense is in place, when truth is in place, it will be very easy for you to be able to discern and detect a lie and be able to know where the voice of your heart is coming from, whether it's coming from the Spirit of God or from a strange spirit. When I was growing up and the word common sense first came into my consciousness, it suggested to me that it is something that is common or general to everyone. But as I began to grow up, I began to realize that even though it is called common sense is not very common. I began to realize that even though we call it common sense, not many people have common sense, because if people have common sense, many of the things that we see happening in our lives today and we see happening in our world today will not be happening. So it's very, very clear, because if you look into your life, in the course of your life, you must have seen one or two people do things and you are like, doesn't she have common sense? No, it's called common sense, but it's not very common, because common sense is not common. In the book of Job, Job had an encounter that brought a lot of challenges into his life. And while Job was going through all these challenges, the Bible reveals to us that a lot of friends came into his life and they all began to talk about the problem in the life of Job. They were giving their own personal opinion about what they felt was the problem in the life of Job. And in Job chapter 32, after they have all spoken, there was a young man by the name of Elihu. He was the youngest of all the guys that came into the life of Job. Very young man. And he said, please permit me to speak. He said, I kept quiet all this while because I'm the youngest and I've been told that old age and gray hair is equal to wisdom. He said, but having listened to you guys, I've come to realize that the age of Methuselah has nothing to do with the wisdom of Solomon. He said, I've come to realize that there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Lord gives them understanding. When you open up yourself to the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord gives you understanding. When you have that understanding and you walk in that understanding, that's common sense is all about. It is walking in the understanding of the truth of the Word of God so that you will not be deceived by happenings around you. So I want to share with you tonight, very briefly, few common sense principles that I want you to bury in your heart. Few common sense principles that I want you to take very serious. If you allow them to be buried in your spirit and you allow them to guide you, you will discover that after tonight, you will begin to operate in a new level of testimony. And I believe that will be your portion in Jesus' name. Common sense number one. Never mourn your singleness. Never mourn your singleness. Singleness is not a sin. Singleness is not a curse. Singleness is not a disease. Singleness is not a problem. Never mourn your singleness. Never mourn your singleness. There are a lot of people that have allowed themselves to be put under pressure. There are a lot of people that have allowed themselves to get involved in relationships that are below the plan and the purpose of God for their life just because they feel that they need to come out of the stage of singleness. Never mourn your singleness. Never allow anybody to make you feel inferior because you are single or because you are not married. You can be single and successful. You can be single and anointed. You can be single and prosperous. You can be single and international. Jesus was not married. Doesn't mean his destiny was limited. All through the Bible, we see a lot of people that were not married, but that does not mean that their destiny is not limited. You are not better than me. I'm not better than you. We are all better than what we used to be. And one of the things you need to realize is that God makes all things beautiful in His time. So don't ever allow yourself to mourn your singleness. There are a lot of people you see all over the world today, because of the way they carry marriage on their head, they become a man and a woman that looks older than their age. You see a lot of ladies, they are just about 26, 27, and they look like 35, 40. Why? Because they are carrying marriage on their head. I want to marry, I want to marry, I want to marry. As if marriage is their destiny. Listen to me, people of God. Marriage is not your destiny. God created man, Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. He said, let us make man in our own image and let them go and marry. No. So you were not created for marriage. Marriage was created for you. You will not be sent out of heaven because you are not married. But marriage can take you to hell if you marry the wrong person. Hello, somebody. Statistics and even psychologists have been able to prove that marrying the wrong person can reduce the quality of your life by 62%. So it is better to be single, open to be married, than to be married, praying to be single again. It is better to be single, open to be married, than to be married and praying to be single again. There are a lot of people that are married today, but they are not enjoying their marriage. They are enduring their marriages. Husband and wife that are intimate strangers. They are roommates, but they are not soulmates. So never mourn your singleness. Don't get to that level where you feel that, oh, all my friends have married. It doesn't matter if all your friends have married. When it's your turn, your time will come. Because one thing I've come to understand is, one of the things I've learned in life is that there are new models and there are old models. When there is a new model, it's because there is an improvement upon the old. Everyone that has married before you, their marriage has become old model. Guess what? When your time comes, it's going to be a new model. Your cake will be special. Your gown will be special. Your suit will be special. The decoration will be special. Because God makes all things beautiful in His time. Somebody shout yes! Never mourn your singleness. Number two, never take your heart on a journey without your brain. Never take your heart on a journey without your brain. You've heard it said before, shine your eyes, but I tell you, please don't just shine your eyes, because it's not all that glitters that is gold. So shine your eyes, shine your brain, and shine your heart. Don't just shine your eyes, because it's not all that glitters that is gold. There are many things that looks good to the face, but there will be a toxic virus to your destiny. So never take your heart on a journey without your brain. Never allow your emotion to overrule your sense of reasoning. Never allow yourself to get to a point in your life where your emotion is the driver and your brain is the passenger. When your emotion is the driver of your life and your brain is the passenger in the vehicle of destiny, accident is inevitable. So there are a lot of people that have allowed themselves to come to a place in life where they allow their emotion to overrule their sense of reasoning. A lady came to church one Sunday morning looking battered and bruised like someone that had a collision with a trailer. And I called her and said, my sister, how are you? I'm fine. I said, you are not fine. How are you? He said, Pastor, daddy, actually, I'm okay. I said, what happened to you? Apparently, she was going out with this funny guy, and the guy had an encounter with her within the week like a trailer. They had had a misunderstanding, and before he could say Jesus is Lord, the guy had descended on her and beaten her up and hospitalized her. And by the time she came to church, she was plastered all over. I said, you mean a man did this to you? A man that has not yet married you, that has not paid a bright price over your head, he has done this to you? Ah, you can't marry that guy. He said, oh no, pastor, please. You know, no, I love him. He has apologized. I love him. I said, shut up. You don't know what love is. How can you love a man that is abusing you physically before marriage? You have given him a license to buy your coffin after marriage. And that's what happens when you allow your emotion to overrule your sense of reason. Because as far as it's concerned, Okowonta. So this one that you are seeing just might, because if you lose this one, you may not get another one. Who told you? What verse of the scripture is that? That's when one man gets out of your life, you will not get another one. I don't care who he is. If he's an abuser, it's not good enough for you. If he does not appreciate you, it's not good enough for you. When he leaves your life, Ishmael has gone so that Isaac can come. Never take your heart on a journey without your brain. My fiance is in Germany. My fiance is in England. And all you have is phone number. All you have is email address. You are a fool of the 21st century. Men all around you, you are leaving what you see for what you cannot see. You are leaving the known for the unknown. Listen to me, if all you have is a phone number, if all you have is email, that means your relationship is as cheap as changing a SIM card. Once they change the SIM card, the relationship is over. Once you change his email address, the relationship is over. You are too special to be cheap. You are too valuable to be low. Place a value on yourself. You'll be going out with a man for 2 years and he has not introduced you to any important person in his life. Even when he sees important people, he will introduce you as just a friend. Are you just a friend? You've got to tell him, say, excuse me, I'm not just a friend. I'm more than a friend. Give me my due respect. Introduce me the way I am to be introduced. He tells you, you know, this world is very terrible. You know, at the appointed time. When is the appointed time? Now is the appointed time. I don't want to be involved in a submarine relationship. I don't want to be involved in Nicodemus' love. I want a love that can be celebrated. I want a love that can be testified about. Somebody shout yes. Number three. Every relationship must be defined. Every relationship must be defined. An undefined relationship is a dangerous relationship. An undefined relationship is a dangerous relationship because when you don't define a relationship, you give room for assumptions. An assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. So every relationship must be defined. You see a lot of people submitting their life to uncertainties, all in the name of love. Listen to me. Love is not blind. If love is blind, marriage will open your eyes. You are only blind until you marry. The day you marry, reality.com. See, a lot of people, they are always together. Brothers and sisters, forever together. They come to church together. They go out of church together. When the brother comes before the sister, he reserves seats for the sister. When the sister comes before the brother, she reserves seats for the brother. When they are talking, they make you feel as if you need a visa to intrude into their discussion. And when you ask them, what is going on between the two of you? They say, nothing. Liar, 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 liar. There's nothing going on between the two of you. How come you allow one man to monopolize your airspace? How come you allow one man to be a canopy over your life? He has become a Pharisee. He will not enter. And he will not allow those that want to enter to enter. Brother, why are
are you browsing the website if you are not planning to click? Why are you browsing every day if you are not planning to download? Leave the site. Let somebody else browse the site. Every relationship must be defined.
I was ministering here a few years ago, and this thing I've just said became more real to me right here in this church a few years ago. We had a meeting like this, about 4 days, men, women, leadership, people did a lot of things for like 4 days I was here. And I shared this. The sister's name is Bimbo, I will never forget. She was in that meeting in this same auditorium. She came to me and said, "Sir, I'm 34 years old. And I've been very close to this guy for about 6 years. And I believe he is my husband. But he has not said anything." And I looked her straight in the eye. I said, "He is not your husband." "See, no, but Pastor, I have confirmation. Even some people confirm me." I said, "I don't care what anybody have told you." The way she was doing her hand, I said, "Me too, I don't care what anybody has told you. Any man that needs 6 years to make up his mind is not yours." So I told her, I said, "Listen to me. Listen to me. Has he ever proposed to you? Has he ever told you he loves you, he wants to marry?" He said, "Hey, no, but we are very close. In fact, we are together. We are very tight." I said, "Okay. You are now going to go and meet him and ask him, how far? Are you the one or should we look for another?" The next day, this sister came back to me. I will never forget Sister Bimbo. If she's here, I believe she should be mine. But if she's still here, she's here. It was in this meeting. "Hello?" The next day she came to me and said, "Pastor, that you told me to do, I've been thinking about it. I can't do, you know, it makes me look cheap. How can I go and ask a man how far?" I said, "You are already cheap, my sister. You are cheap. I'm only trying to make you expensive. If you can pause your life for 6 years because of one man, you are cheap." 6 years, is he God? You are cheap, babe. I'm only trying to make you expensive. He said, "But the Bible says he that finds a wife, you know, is the man that is supposed to propose." I said, "Alpha is not a proposer. Bro, Alpha, is that a proposer?" "It's a question." "Hello, Alpha, is that a proposer?" "Hello?" "Now, my sister, if you go to a man now, I say, bro, when are you going to get married? Is that a proposer?" "You're asking a question. When are you going to go and say, it's you I'm waiting for?" And then, you know. The third day I didn't see her. On the final day I was already on my way out. And I saw her with someone and she was flagging me down. By the time she came, because I told her what to do, I said, "You know what, you are going to call him, I'm going to sit with him. And you are going to say you want to see him, special discussion." I said, "When he comes, you are going to sit down and going to pray. Let us pray to make it spiritual." I said, "After you finish praying, you are going to tell him and say, you know what, we've been very close for a long time. And at this stage of my life, there are some major decisions I need to make. So I just need to put things in perspective. What exactly is going on between the two of us?" Simple. I said, by the time you throw it like that, two things will happen. If he truly loves you, it's possible that he loves you, but he doesn't want to lose the friendship. Because he doesn't know whether if he proposes, you will say no, and he will lose the friendship. So the friendship is so important. So he's willing not to marry you to keep your friendship than to not marry you and lose your friendship. Second possibility is that he doesn't even have anything like that in his mind. She said, no, I think it's the first one. I said, okay. By the time she came back, she was crying. I said, "Hey, I don't want Jeremiah's anointing here." And what has happened? She went to the guy. She did exactly what I told her to do. You know what the guy said? "Ah, Bimbo, Aburo no Jesse me. Mi ororu esie. Moti wa engage." Interpretation. "Bimbo, you are like a younger sister to me.
I never thought that of you. After a matter of fact, I'm engaged. 6 years waiting for one man because you refuse to define the relationship. Every time waster in your life, I exit them out of your destiny. In the name of Jesus, your destiny will not be delayed. Your destiny will not be denied. In the name of Jesus, you will be in the right place at the right time. You will do the right thing at the right time. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout, yeah! Number four. Number five. Four. Never wave away warning signals. Never wave away warning signals. Warning signals. Listen to me, people of God. I've been in church for a while and I've come to realize that God loves us so much that he will never allow any evil to befall us without warning us in advance. It's when you refuse to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit and you ignore the Spirit of God that you become a casualty of disobedience. My children used to sing a nursery rhyme when they were little than what they had today. And when they sing, they say, traffic light, traffic light. You must obey the traffic light. Daddy, are you listening? I'm listening. Okay. Traffic light, traffic light. You must obey the traffic light. Yellow, red, say stop. Yeah, you shesh, yeah, di, angi, shego. Now, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. God has a traffic light in your spirit that will tell you yes, no, or hold on. There is something within you called the Spirit of God. It's called the divine umpire of your soul. It will let you know. Listen to me. Everyone that has ever failed, before you ever said hello to that sister, the day you said, how are you? Holy Ghost told you, let it stop there. Because the Holy Ghost saw the end from the beginning. But many guys say, just hello. What is so special about hello? That hello is going to end up being your hello. The very day you saw that guy and he was greeting you and you were becoming, and the Holy Ghost said, what? He said, no, but he's very charming. No, the difference between charming and arming is letter C. The man that is charming today can begin to harm you tomorrow. So never wave away warning signals. Many times we refuse to obey warning signals. You are going out with a man. He has never introduced you to any important person in his life. You only meet him in his office or he takes you to a hotel because you are foolish. He tells you, don't worry, I'll be the one to come and visit you. Every public holiday he disappears and always tells you there is an emergency that came up. It's never available during public holiday. And common sense did not tell anybody that disappears in public holiday is a married man with a family somewhere. Then one day out of the blues, he shows up and says, I'm taking you, you have been saying you want to see my house. I'm taking you to my house today because his wife has traveled. You get into the house and you are not shining your brain. You're too excited. Oh, I love it. He's a ready-made man. Everything is ready-made. Ready-made man can equal to ready-made trouble. Takes you to the house. You get into the kitchen. And you can see aprons hanging on the wall. Set of knives. Set of plates. Blender. Grater. Egg slicer. Orange squeezer. Ah! Common sense should tell you there is a woman in his life. It may be his wife, his sister, his mother. There is a woman there. Because when men want to decorate the house, they start from the sitting room with electronics. When women want to decorate the house, they start from the kitchen and then to the bedroom. Hey! And guess what? You look at the sitting room and there is no picture there, but you see nails on the wall. Nails on the wall. Is nail a decoration? Huh? Common sense should tell you there is something hanging on that nail that has been removed. You will not be deceived. in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of deception, I command it to be delivered in the name of Jesus. Every time waster, I command it to be delivered from them in the name of Jesus.
Never wave away warning signals. A woman came to my office weeping after just 7 months of marriage. Weeping. She had blue eyes. The guy is beating her up like Osama. And she began to cry. Pastor, that man is a devil. He beats me. Pastor, he drinks. He smokes. Do you know now that he is now carrying girls? I said, excuse me. You got married to a Christian now? He said, he was a dickie. He was a dickie. I married him in church. I don't know. He was. I said, the devil is not that powerful. To turn a Christian into a devil in 7 months, the devil is not that powerful. So I said, my sister, let me ask you a question. You say he's slapping you, he's smoking, he's drinking. Question one. All through your courtship, did he ever slap you at least once? Yes. But he told me he apologized and he said he didn't know what came over him. I said, okay. And before you married him, did you confirm that that thing that came over him has stopped coming before you married him? Hello? Because that was a warning signal. I said, okay, when you were cutting him, did you ever see him drink or smoke at least once? He said, yes. But he told me it's because he was under pressure. I said, he has already taken permission to drink and smoke. He says, because he's under pressure. Who told you that you will not be under pressure? There will be pressure forever. So he was already telling you that anytime he's under pressure, go on, sir. He will smoke and drink. I said, you are a victim of foolishness. Because you waved away warning signals when God gave it to you. I said, so now receive grace to go and suffer. Hello, somebody. Listen to me, people of God. Never wave away warning signals. I don't care how beautiful the man is. If he's stingy before marriage, he's going to be stingier after marriage. You are going out with a man. He claims to love you and he cannot download. Recharge card, he knows he buy. Ordinary present, he knows he buy. He's always quoting scripture. Now scripture will go top. He's going to be a responsible man. Let him begin to show the color now. Let him show a signs of better things to come. I'm not asking you to buy me a house or buy me a car, but be a man. Pick up the bills. Don't start quoting scripture and looking for ways to excuse money. When it's my birthday, you say, we should only celebrate spiritual birth. We say we want to celebrate Christmas. Nothing. You say Jesus was not born in December. Now it's Valentine. You say Valentine is not scriptural. Brother, stingy. Hello? Brother, never wave away warning signal. I don't care how beautiful she is. Listen to me. If she cannot honor you now, if she cannot submit to you now, she will never honor you tomorrow. So be careful of that woman. You talk one, she will talk seven. Fire on the mountain. Say, excuse me. Talk to the aunt. You better run for your life. That's a dangerous woman. Hello, somebody. Dangerous woman. You are not married and she's already talking. Excuse me. You say, but what's this? I say, forget Bible. Let's put the Bible aside. And she reads it too. Let's put the Bible aside. So that means there are areas of your life where the Bible does not have a say. Run from that sister. See, a lot of people say, hey, I'm warning you, don't let me show you my true color. So there is a color behind the color. Hey! Number five. Never look down on anybody. Never look down on anybody. The last 15 to 18 years of the body of Christ, there's been a move of the prosperity message. But most of what we call prosperity message is nothing but materialism message. And because of that, we have come to a time where people are respected by virtue of what they drive, what they wear, and where they live. But you are not your house. You are not your car. You are not what you wear. But right now, people respect people by virtue of packaging. But you've got to understand, it's not about the container, it's about the content. The container may be powerful, but the content may be a virus. Whitewash sepulchres. Never look down on anybody. A man may not have a car today, but they have not stopped manufacturing cars. A man may not have a house today, but they have not stopped manufacturing building materials. You've got to understand that my present state is not my final bus stop. God is not through with me yet. I may not wear a designer suit tomorrow, today, but I'm going to wear a designer suit tomorrow. I may not have all the money today, but I'm going to have money tomorrow. It doesn't take God 24 hours to change a man's story. Never look down on anybody. We had a lady in our church many years ago. I'm talking about 12, 30 years ago. She was Isaiah 53. There was no beauty in her that she should be desired. She was like that. One. Just like that. Standing. And when brothers are thinking of marriage, they don't consider her. As a matter of fact, they use her to insult other people. Say, hey, see your wife, they come. And people, and one day I called the brother, I said, come, do you know this is a daughter of God you are insulting like that? See, our pastor, when I saw this, I say, do you know that this woman has potential? Can't you people see? Say, ah, pastor, nothing, 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 nothing. They despise this young lady because she was just like that. But guess what? A guy came to Lagos for youth service, came into our church, at the heights of an eagle, saw beyond the physical, saw into the potential of the sister, looked beyond the container and saw the content. And this guy proposed to this lady and she said yes. And like a miracle, the person that was like this, everything started coming out. Bah, 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 everywhere, together. And all of a sudden, all these guys were like, ah! Is it not the same sister? No. Now she has a man in her life. Two are better than one. Because one will chase 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight. Unknown to us, she was a British citizen. She had British passports. Her parents were in the UK. But they told her to wait until she's engaged before she can come to London. So out of that frustration of thinking that they don't want her to come to London, she started drying up. The day she got engaged, her peace was restored. She began to come back to her full potential. Today, she's in the UK, married to that guy. They've got 3 kids. Some of those people that were mocking her 13 years ago are still in the markets. Never look down on anybody because the hand of God is upon my life and God is not through with me yet. A brother gave a testimony on the altar just about 4 Sundays ago. He's not had a job for 2 years. We just concluded 40 days fasting this Friday, 28th of December to 5th of February. 40 days of waiting upon the Lord, calling upon God for the supernatural. About 4 Sundays ago, this guy had not got a job for 3 years, for 2 years, sorry. And now he came to give a testimony. He just got a job, and that job as an official house, as an official car, not just a car. Listen to me. As a matter of fact, it's not a motto. It's not a vehicle, it's a car. You know, some people have motto, some people have vehicle. This car is a car. The job came with a car. And the salary is hundreds of thousands per month. And guess what? He's right now in Germany for a 1 month pre-training before he resumes. Guess what? If you saw him in December, he was a poor man. But by January 2010, he was a rich man. I'm here to let you know it's not over until God says it's over. Never look down on anybody. Young man came into our office 3 years ago, weeping and crying.
He had started going out with this lady. They registered in the church marriage committee. But this lady was just a devourer. And the guy was telling her, please, let's cut our coat according to our material. But she said, excuse me. I don't have time for patience. My own is sharp, sharp. Jesus must answer me today. Microwave Christianity. And the guy kept telling her, no, you know, let's plan it. And one day she didn't know because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaker. She said, excuse me, what's every time? No money. Even my unbeliever boyfriend are better than you. The guy said, what did he say? He said, yeah, I didn't say anything. He said, what did you say? You're unbeliever. You mean you have unbeliever boyfriend? You are a Christian? He said, hey, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to say my unbeliever boyfriend before I got born again, not now. The guy said, I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, we need to have a rethink. Before you know it, she set the guy up. Got to the marriage committee and went to tell them that the guy wanted to molest her sexually. And church don't investigate that thing. They just took, once a sister come and say, brother is molesting, nobody, everybody will just believe. So they believed the sister, called the brother, and insulted him, spoke down on him, suspended him, put him on 7 days fast. The guy said, I didn't do anything. They said, shut up! Oh, Lenora. So the guy came to my office weeping. He said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Everybody believes I'm trying to molest her. I've never kissed her. I've never even done anything like that. Never. This is what happened. I said, don't worry. God will vindicate you. Truth does not need a lawyer. The integrity of the upright will preserve them. I said, let us pray. I prayed a simple prayer. Lord, vindicate him and honor him. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to me. 3 weeks later, he won the American Visa Lottery. 3 weeks later, after that prayer, the guy stood on the altar on Sunday to give a testimony that he has won the American Visa Lottery. Guess what happened? Here comes the sister. Bro, we give thanks to God. You see, so when are we going? You are who? And guess what? To show you that this guy really loves her, do you know the guy came back to me and asked, Pastor, what do you think I should do? Should I still take her along? That shows you how much he loves her. I say, woman will drop you for Nigeria. When you reach America, he go drop you. That's a warning signal. Hello? Oh, my time is up. Let me give you one more. You get the remaining in the books. I've got 101 of that. Let me give you one more. Listen. Don't sacrifice your future on the altar of temporary pleasure. Don't sacrifice your future on the altar of temporary pleasure. The Bible, speaking about Esau, he said, because of a pot of porridge, he sold his birthright. When you come into the New Testament, the Bible says he sought it with tears and strong groanings, and he could not get it back. Don't sacrifice your future on the altar of temporary pleasure. Listen to me. Sex is sweet. Sin is sweet. But sex is also deadly. And sin is deadly. The Bible speaking about Moses. The Bible says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a moment. Sin is pleasurable. But the pleasure is for a moment. And the displeasure is for eternity. Don't sacrifice your future on the altar of temporary pleasure. Most beautiful girl in Nigeria, 1960, is an old woman today. Nobody reigns forever. Don't destroy your future because of today's level of indiscipline. Immorality is everywhere. It's on the altar. It's in the pew. It's everywhere. People come to church. They live like devils from Monday to Saturday. And they come on Sunday to lift up unholy hands. No wonder there is no power in the church. No wonder we prophesy and it does not come to pass. Because there is sin in the camp. And a lot of Christians have become Ichabod because the glory has departed. It's difficult to see virgins in the world today. Difficult to see men and women living in purity today. How many men today are virgins? How many women today are virgins? How many people today are living for God in purity? How many people are there that the devil will come and not be able to rule over them? The Bible says the praise of this world cometh and it finds nothing in me. Don't sacrifice your future on the altar of temporary pleasure. I see a lot of you selling yourself cheaper. I see a lot of you messing up with your life. Listen to me. They may buy you a car today. That senator may take you to America today. That governor may take you to Italy tomorrow. They may take you to do all the shoppings in this world. But every time you lay on that bed, your future is being destroyed. Virginity once lost can never be regained. Not by prayer, not by fasting. Once it's gone forever. Don't sacrifice your future on the altar of temporary pleasure. You think you are a bobo nice. You are sleeping around with all kinds of babes. Sowing your seeds all over. Different boroughs, different local government, different states. Let me tell you something. By the time you waste your seed, you get married and you say you have a low sperm count. Why won't you have a low sperm count when you have wasted it in the days of your youth? It's time, like our daddy said, to rise up and remove this reproach from the house of the Lord. I share with you a story. Young lady, teenage girl, growing up in church. She was a testimony in church. Testimony. People use her as a testimony for their own children. Can't you be like Titi? Can't you be like Titi? By the time she was 18, she was already an worship coordinator in the church. She was just too good. This young lady, by the time she quotes scripture, when she talked, there was this dimension of God that was on her life. Then she gained admission. Gained admission and got to school, and the virus of school entered into her system. The first time she came back, the question she was asking me showed that something was wrong. I said, "Pastor, my friends in school told me that my breast is too small because I'm a virgin." I was wondering, I said, breast, school. Is that a course in school? Breast 101. So I said, "Come, what course are you doing?" He said, "Business admin." What has business administration got to do with breast? Say, they say it's because I'm a virgin, that if I'm not a virgin, that my homo. I said, "Who are these kind of friends you are moving with that are talking?" I said, "These people want to destroy your life, oh." Right there and there, I told her, once you get back to school, avoid those kind of friends. Stop moving there. Identify with the fellowship. I gave her counsel. She disappeared. I never saw her again. Never saw her again. Few years later, about five, six years later, I was in my office and an old woman walked in. When I say old woman, I mean old woman. I said, "Welcome, ma." Say, "Daddy, it's me." I said, "Hey, Baba Moyo Motobi." This one, he said, "That is what I say." "You say it's me, Titi." I said, "Titi." So I go, 18 plus 6, 24. This doesn't look like a 24-year-old girl. I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Pastor, it's a long story." I said, "I have time. Sit down. Give me this." By the time she gave me her story, I saw that sin is terrible. Sin will cost you more than you are willing to pay. Keep you more than you are willing to stay. Take you farther than you are willing to go. Sin is a virus. This young girl told me her story. She got back to school, hooked up with the girls I told her not to hook up with. And they told her, "If you doubt what we are saying, go and ask the medical doctor." So they set her up with a medical student that posed as a doctor in the clinic. She went to the guy, and the guy told her, "Oh, as a virgin, as a matter of fact, if you are not this virgin before you are 20, you are going to have fibroid." And they just set her destiny up. She said, "Pastor, with my own mouth, I don't have any boyfriend." I asked the guy, I said, "So, I don't have boyfriend. Who will not help me?" He said, the guy said, "Look for somebody. If you want," he said, "Can't you help me?" He said, "I asked him by myself, out of my naivety, right on the slaughter table where they do examination. The guy disvirgin her there." She got back to the hostel, and the friend said, "How was it?" He said, "Ah, it's painful, but it's sweet." He said, "It's because it's the first time. When you do the next one, it will not be." That's how they initiated her into the world of immorality. She said, "Pastor, I went the second time myself to meet the guy to do it again." And she got pregnant without knowing. It's amazing how the experts in the world of immorality know what to do not to get pregnant. And the naive ones that wants to try it, they get into trouble. Second time, she got pregnant. She didn't even know she was pregnant. 1 month, no period. She didn't know anything. Second month, no period, nothing. It was 3 months before she discovered, when she began to feel somehow. And her friend said, "What's wrong with you? When last did this your period?" She said, "Kuwanoni." She said, "Kuwanoni. Don't you know that that means you are pregnant?" So they began to give her all kinds of concussion, all manner of stuff to take, to flush it down. But the baby refused to die. "I shall not die, but live to declare the words of the Lord." The baby refused to die. By the time she was 4 months pregnant, they've tried everything. They say it's time to go to hospital because she was in pain. By the time they took her to the hospital and did x-ray, guess what? She was not pregnant for one. She was not pregnant for two. She was pregnant for three. You have not heard the story. The first one was in the left fallopian tube, utopic pregnancy. Second one in right fallopian tube, utopic pregnancy. The third one was in the middle. By the time they did the x-ray, they said, you know what, sister? There is no way we can do abortion for you because the one on the left, on the right, we have to look at how we can monitor you to deliver those ones because we have to cut through your fallopian tube to bring them, and you cannot give birth to a child again. So they put down observation. After a few weeks there, all manner of trouble, they had to cut her open to try and take care of the one in the middle. By the time they got there, the one in the middle is rotting by virtue of all the things that she has taken. They put her, sew her back. Twice they opened her womb. They sewed her back again. What was monitoring her? A few weeks later, they discovered that they didn't get any heartbeat from the ones in the fallopian tube. They had to go there and cut her tube. Right now, she's still in church. She's still serving God. No womb, nothing, nothing. Why? Because she refused to listen to the instruction of a prophet of God. There are men of you sitting down here right now, but concluding on it, once can be deadly. You never know the step you will take that will ruin the journey of your life. Every head bowed in Jesus' name. We've worshipped God, we've celebrated God, but I believe that God brought deliverance to you tonight. There are some of you here, the devil has plotted the graph of your destruction. The devil has dug a pit to bury you, to bury your destiny. The devil has plotted a graph to divert your destiny. But you can put that devil to shame today by saying yes to God. I want you to open your mouth and begin to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. In any way I've lived contrary to your will, Lord, I'm sorry. In any way that I've lived below your plan and purpose, Lord, I'm sorry. Open your mouth and begin to ask for the mercy of God. You have lived in sin enough. You have messed up enough. You have compromised enough. It's time to let God have his way. Open your mouth and talk to God. Ask for the mercy of God. Ask for the mercy of God. Ask for the mercy of God. Don't let the blood begin to cry against you. Bloods of abortion, bloods of immorality. Don't let blood speak against you. Open your mouth and begin to plead the blood of Jesus for mercy, for redemption. Open your mouth and begin to pray, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, I'm sorry. In any way I've hurt you, in any way I've disappointed you, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Open your mouth, Lord, baptize me with wisdom and common sense. Lord, help me to walk in wisdom. Help me to walk in wisdom. I refuse to be a casualty. I refuse to be a victim. Help me to walk in wisdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to pray for two set of people. If you're in this auditorium tonight, you know you are not born again. You know if Jesus comes now, you are not sure of heaven. And you say, Pastor, I want to turn it over to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to him. Can you lift up your hands wherever you are? Let me pray with you. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to, thank you, my brother. You want to surrender to Jesus. Is there another person there? You say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want Jesus to take over in my life. Thank you, my sister. I see hands all over this place. Wherever you are, lift up your hands. Let me pray with you. Lift it up. Let the ushers locate you. Ushers, can you please locate that guy for me? Locate those people. Locate that sister up there. Ushers, just give them something to hold as I pray with them. Hallelujah. If you are there, lift up your hands. The ushers will just slip. Thank you. There's somebody here. There's another person here. There are two people in front here. Ushers, just locate them. Put a slip in their hands as we pray. There's somebody at the back there. Just put a slip in there. There's somebody in front here. Lift up your hands. You want to give it to Jesus. Lift up your hands. Jesus loves you. He brought you here for a divine purpose. There's another person there. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You don't want to live here the same way you came. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these ones. Lord, the lifting of the hand is a sign of total surrender. Today, they are lifting up the hand to surrender to your will and to your way. Lord, I pray that you come into their hearts. I pray that you will take over. Let today be the beginning of the rest of their life. Let doing your will be their heart desire. Let knowing you more be their heart's cry. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, those of you that collected that paper, listen to me. Look at me. Look at me. If you collected the paper, come. I want to shake hands with you. Come. If you collected the paper, come. If you gave your life to Jesus, come. Just want to shake hands with you. Come. Wherever you are, come. Those of you at the back, just come. Come to you. Clap for them. Celebrate them. Come. If you gave your life to Jesus, come. Come. We're still praying. We're still going to pray for one set of people. Just come. Come, come. He loves you so much. Listen to me. You are blessed. Go and write down today's date. And as you stick with God and stay connected to this church, this is a living church, you're going to discover that the story of your life is going to be new. I'm going to just shake hands with you and release you to those ministers of the gospel. Congratulations. Welcome to Jesus. 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 Every head bowed and every eye closed in Jesus' name. Church, I need to pray this prayer. Close your eyes. Bow down your heads. Listen to me. If you are going to serve the devil, it's better to serve him. If you are going to serve God, it's better to serve him. The Bible says, if Baal is Baal, let's serve him. If God is God, let's serve him. There's no point spending all your life in church and ending up in hellfire. It's not worth it. If you're in this auditorium tonight, you say, Pastor, I'm a born-again Christian, but I'm living in sin. I have a boyfriend. I have a girlfriend. I'm involved in fornication. I'm involved in masturbation. I'm involved in homosexuality, lesbianism. I'm involved in sugar daddy and sugar mommy. I'm involved in aristo. I'm involved in all kinds of things that I'm not happy about. I need help. Pastor, please, I need deliverance. Please, pray for me. I try to come out, but I can't do it myself. Wherever you are, lift up your hands. Let me pray with you. Lift up your hands right now. Thank you. Lift it up right now. You're born again Christian. You're living in sin. You're born again Christian. You're living in unrighteousness. Masturbation, immorality, fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality. Lift it up. Lift it up. Let's pray. Now, with your hands lifted up, the lifting of the hand is a sign of total surrender to God. I've seen men and women delivered all over the world. There is an anointing that comes upon a man to bring deliverance when the man is willing to change. Lay that hand upon your head right now. Lay that hand upon your head. And wherever you are seated, repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I surrender all to you today. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of unrighteousness. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Every weakness of the flesh and of the spirit, remove it from my life. In the name of Jesus, power of the Holy Spirit, come upon me right now. Whatever God has not planted, let it be destroyed over my life. In the name of Jesus, I cut off from sin. I cut off from unrighteousness. I cut off from ungodly relationship. I cut off from evil soul tie. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pledge my allegiance to you. No more reproach in my life. I will be a testimony all my life. I make a commitment today that I will never willingly and consciously be involved in righteousness. And I pray, Lord, that when temptation comes, your spirit will keep me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. With your hand on your head, let me pray with you. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, I stand upon the authority of your call upon my life. I take my place in the prophetic, far above principalities and powers and dominion of mine and every name that is named, and I declare in the name of Jesus, whatever you have not planted in this life, be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Everything that God has not planted, I release the axe of God to the root of that problem. Let it be uprooted in the name of Jesus. I come against every weakness of the flesh and of the spirit. I come against emotional weakness. I come against emotional imbalance in the name of Jesus. I come against ungodly relationship. I come against evil soul tie. I come against demonic affections in the name of Jesus. I command it to fail over their lives. I release upon you the spirit of purity, the grace to walk in integrity in the name of Jesus, that from today you will rise and fall no more. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. I set you free from sin. I set you free from unrighteousness. I set you free from immorality in your spirit, your soul, your body, your mind, your will and your emotion. Be free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Just wave your hands and appreciate God tonight. Wave your hands.